I read about a farmer. His story, though not really humorous, is certainly appropriate given our reading of this text for today. The story goes that a certain farmer came into town one day. He was looking for someone to work on his farm for the summer months. The farmer interviewed several people, one after another, until he came to a fellow that really impressed him with his appearance, with his strength, with his clean-cut manner. So the farmer approached this gentleman and began to ask him questions. The farmer asked, "Sir, I need someone who can look after the horses and the cattle. I need someone who can feed them. Can you do that?" And the man answered, "I can sleep on a stormy night." Well, the man was puzzled and he said, "Well, okay, I'm not really sure what you mean by that, but let me ask you another question." He said, "How about fencing? Can you work on fences? Can you do a little carpentry work for me from time to time around the farm?" And the man said, "I can sleep on a stormy night." Bothered by this response yet again, but still somewhat intrigued by this man, the farmer said, "Well, I'm not really sure what you're saying here, but let me just ask again." He says, "What about plowing? Can you plow the fields? Can you maintain the fields and the crops that I have?" And again, the man said, "Like I said, I can sleep on a stormy night." Well, the farmer was very confused by this, and so after these many answers, he decided, "Well, let me take a chance on this man. I like everything else about him. I don't understand what he's talking about, but let me bring him to the farm and see what kind of work that he can do." So he hired the man and brought him to his farm, and the man began to work, and he had the best of attitudes. He did everything the farmer asked of him. He was not lazy, and everything went well for several weeks. And then one night, a great storm came. Lightning flashed, the thunder rolled through the night, and the rain came in torrents for quite some time. The wind shook the farmer's house so badly he could not sleep, and so the farmer got up in the middle of the night, he got dressed, and he went, and he banged on the door of the hired hand. But no one came to the door, and the only sound he heard was snoring on the other side of the closed door. Well, the farmer couldn't stand it, so he ran outside. He went to the barn, frantically looking around, but all the cows were where they needed to be, and everything seemed to be safe and sound. The farmer ran to the hen house, and there again, everything was safe and quiet. Even the loose tin that was on top of the shed had been nailed down, and everything was secure. So finally, the farmer went back inside and tried to go to sleep. Well, the next morning at the breakfast table, the farmer said, "Wow, that was some storm we had last night, wasn't it?" And the hired hand said, "Did it storm last night? I didn't even hear it." "Storms don't wake me," he said. "In fact, they don't bother me at all. I know I'm prepared. I can sleep on a stormy night." What a great philosophy of life. What a wonderful way to approach the living of this life that we have been given. The hired hand basically said, "I will prepare for the storm in advance. I will do my job thoroughly so that when the storm comes, the crisis will not wake me nor bother me. I have no fear of storms. I can sleep on a stormy night." Now, I don't know about you, but when I hear that story of the farmer and the hired hand, it made me think of Jesus and the disciples in the boat when they're crossing the stormy sea. Jesus is asleep in the boat, we know, but the disciples, many of whom were fishermen, were scared out of their minds. Now, this had to be a horrible storm. These were men who spent their life fishing, spent their life on the water. And yet, in the boat that day, they were terrified of this storm. And yet, Jesus, a carpenter, not a fisherman, was asleep in the boat. How can he sleep through the storm? How is it possible to be confident and secure in our lives in times of trouble? Well, in our text for today, Jesus talks about many things, but at the heart of all the matters in which he talks about is this concentration on the crucial difference between foolishness and wisdom. And the climactic point of this discussion comes in verses 24 through 27. In these verses, Jesus describes two men who build two houses on two very different foundations. And when the storms come, what happens to their houses is also very different. Now, of course, we know that Jesus isn't really talking about how to build a house. He's talking about how to build a life. But not just any kind of life, an abundant life. A life that is built on faith, a life that when the storms come can withstand the storms that come our way. So what is it that Jesus wants us to know about foolishness and wisdom? Well, let's start with the house in this passage. Jesus uses the example here of building a house because it's so apropos to building a life. Well, why are they similar? Well, to begin with, if one is to build a house, if we were to build a house that is sturdy, that is effective, that is good, then you must begin with what? A plan, a design. In other words, you have to know at the beginning what you want it to look like at the end. In other words, you don't just gather up materials or a bunch of random pieces and pile them all together and call it a house. There needs to be a plan. There has to be a design, an ultimate goal. And Jesus is teaching that same building principle applies to our lives. For unfortunately, some people go through their lives just kind of accumulating things here and there, pulling something from here and another thing from there, and then trying to fashion a life together with no plan, no design, no ultimate goal, no end in sight. The pattern is just let me make it through another day, another week, another month. And before you know it, years go by with no plan, no goal. Jesus says, wait a minute. Stop. Ask yourself, what is my purpose? What is my plan? What is the ultimate goal of my life? What am I trying to make here? What do I want my life to look like when it's finished? The end must be in sight, even from the beginning. This morning, if I were to stop this sermon and I were to ask each one of you to stand up and to share with everyone else here the purpose of your life, could you do it? In one simple sentence, maybe just a few phrases, just a couple of words put together. If I were to ask you to stand up and say, what is the purpose of my life? Could you, in a clear, concise manner, make that statement? It doesn't matter how young or how old you are. It doesn't matter if you're a child in elementary school or one of our seniors in high school, or if you're a young adult, middle-aged, senior adult. It doesn't matter. What matters is, can you answer that question? Jesus says to us, what kind of house are you building? What kind of life are you constructing? Does your life have a plan? Does it have a goal? Does it have an end in sight? And how we build that life is so important. Maybe you've heard of the elderly carpenter who was due to retire. He told his employer of his plans to leave the business and to begin a life of leisure and travel with his wife. He would miss the money, he would miss some of the work, but the time had come and he was ready to hang up his hammer. So he told his boss was disappointed because the carpenter had been a loyal, diligent worker, and he was sad to see him go. But the boss said, look, before you retire, can you do me one favor? Can you build me one more house before retiring? And the carpenter agreed. But as he began the process, it was clear that his heart really wasn't in the effort. He took shortcuts he normally wouldn't take. He used inferior materials. He put in a half-hearted effort. And in the end, the final product was well short of his usual standards, disappointing as a way to end his career. Well, when the job was finished, his boss came to look at the house and make sure it was all done. And after the boss walked around and saw all that had been happened and all the finished product, the boss turned to the carpenter and gave him the keys. And he said, "This is your house. It's my retirement gift to you. I wanted to give it to you so that you could have it in retirement." And the carpenter was shocked. He was embarrassed. If only he had known this was going to be his house. If only he had known he was working to construct and build what was his, he would have done it so differently. If only he had known, then he would have demanded excellence from himself. We are often not much different, are we? We go about our business working as we see fit, and sometimes it's with passion, sometimes without caring, sometimes with excellence, sometimes with low standards. Sometimes with diligence, but other times without effort. We are all in the process of building our own lives. And you know, I think Jesus would say to us, if you're not happy with what you see in your life, if you're not happy with where your life is at this stage, part of it may be a direct consequence of how you've been building your life. Build wisely, Jesus says. But he doesn't just talk about the house. He also talks about the storm. In the story, Jesus says, the storms come and the winds blow, the rains fall, the floods rise. They all beat against the house. And we know these storms are symbolic of the storms that come to us. Economic and financial storms. Physical storms of illness and disease and surgery and pain, accidents and tragedies, broken relationships, shattered dreams, temptations, disappointments, all of these things become the storms that hit us in life. The question Jesus asks is, how will you handle and face these storms? How do you handle and face these storms? Jesus did not promise his followers, nor did he promise us, that we would be spared from the storms. In fact, he said the opposite. He said to his disciples, to his followers in the upper room, he said, listen, you will in your lives experience trouble. You will go through trials and tribulations. You will endure hardships and difficulties. None of us, regardless of our faith, none of us escape the hardships and trials and difficulties of life. We have to be prepared for the storms of life that come our way. So Jesus says, as you are building your life, remember that one day, the house, the life you are building will be tested by the storms. And some of those storms may be severe. The question is, how well will your house, your life, withstand these storms? Can we sleep through a stormy night? Well, all of that really comes back to the foundation. In this story, Jesus says there were two houses. One was built on a foundation of rock. The other was built on a foundation of sand. And when the storms came, the house that was built on the foundation of sand, we know, collapsed and was destroyed. But the house that was built on the rock, that which was solid, withstood even the most tremendous storm. Why? Because of the foundation. This morning, Jesus asks, through this parable, what is the foundation of your life? Let me ask it in a different way. What is it that you trust in the most when life becomes difficult? When the storms of life come, what is it that you trust the most? Where do you turn when the storms come. The hymn writer reminds us as Christians, our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. What is your foundation? The Burj Khalifa building tower opened in Dubai in January the 4th, 2010, at a staggering 2,717 feet tall. It is more than half a mile in the air. It easily overshadows the previously tallest building. It stands twice as tall as the Empire State Building in our own country. And there are many amazing facts about this tower. It was at that time the tallest made man structure. It is the building with the most floors in the world, 160. It has the highest elevator and the world's fastest elevator at 40 miles an hour. It has the world's highest swimming pool on the 76th floor of the building. And all of that's interesting. But what's most important is not what you can see, but it is what you cannot see. It's what's underneath that amazing tower. It's what lies buried beneath the surface. With a solid foundation, the world's tallest building stands. Without that foundation, the world's tallest building would be the world's greatest pile of rubble. Extending 164 feet below the surface of the ground, there lies 59,000 cubic yards of concrete weighing over 120,000 tons. It took more than a year just to build the foundation. So Jesus asked, what is your foundation? If our lives are not built on Jesus Christ, then sooner or later, when the storms come, they will get us. If we build our lives on the sands of our own abilities, on the sands of our interests and our pleasures, on the sands of our capacity, on the sands of our knowledge and our skills, then when the storms of life come, our foundation will not hold the life we have constructed. The writer of Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will make your paths straight. That's wisdom. That is the heart and soul and core of wisdom. Jesus says, wise is the person who builds his or her house, their life, by a plan and a design and a purpose and builds it on the solid rock of faith. This is the wise person. And notice, Jesus doesn't say this is the smart person. This is not the intelligent person. This is not the educated person. This is not the learned person. There are lots of people who exemplify those traits, but that's not what Jesus said. Being wise is different from knowledge or intelligence. Jesus says the wise person is the one who hears my words and then does something. The wise person is one, Jesus says, who hears these words and then does what? Applauds them? No. Agrees with them? No. Praises them? No. Jesus says the truly wise person is the one who hears these words of mine and does them. Puts them into practice, uses these words to build a life that is on a solid foundation. You see, what is really important to God is not just that we hear these words, but it is that we use them in constructing and building the life that God has given to us. The wise person hears these words of mine and puts them into practice, uses them to construct their lives. On August the 17th of 2015, was just a little over 3 years ago. Ann Graham Lotz, who is the daughter of Billy Graham, discovered her husband unresponsive in the family swimming pool. After some time on life support and in the ICU unit, Ann's husband of 49 years at the time died. The storms of life, they came. 1 month later, in September, Ann wrote these words. "The storm of my husband's unexpected death has not shattered my life. While the grief is deep, the loneliness is real, the emotions ebb and flow like the waves of a sea, I have not collapsed. I have remained standing, not only for my own well-being, but also for the well-being of others. For one reason, I know God. I have developed," she said, "a relationship with God that is built on the foundation of faith in His Word. I have not collapsed." This morning, I invite you to think of yourself as a carpenter. Think of your life as a house. Every day, you hammer nails. Every day, you place boards. Every day, you erect walls. Build wisely, Jesus says. For this is the only life you will ever build. And even if you live this life for only one more day, just one more day, that day deserves to be lived graciously, with dignity, and in the wisdom of faith. The quote this week said, "Life is a do-it-yourself project." Your life tomorrow will be the result of your attitudes and the choices and the decisions you make today. This is your life. So build wisely. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful that your word comforts us when the storms of life come. And we're also grateful, Lord, that your word challenges us during the calm times of life to get ready, to be prepared, to build on the solid foundation of our faith in Jesus Christ. Lord, we confess today that life sometimes is very difficult. There are tough decisions to make. There are choices that become overwhelming. There are storms that come our way, and life sometimes tosses us to and fro. But God, today we place our faith and trust in you. Help us to build a life that is pleasing to you and honors you. For we make this our prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.